This is a production of Cornell University.
So it is 4:47 on this Thursday, March 5th. Welcome to the FDA meeting. First, before we have our speaker, we are going to go into roll call for FDA members.
Hi, Steve.
Before we move on to any other part of our agenda, I'm happy to announce that Rebecca Stolzis is going to be giving a presentation about Engage Cornell. So if you'd like to come forward and guide you guys around.
The proposal that we wrote has three strategic
And the seventh area is that we have an aspiration
today to have your speakers list. If anyone in the community would like to ask a question about Engage Cornell, please just raise your hands and we'll make sure to write you down to ask a question. For now, I'm going to go with the hands that I've already seen. The first is Gigi Bazar.
Hi, thank you for coming. So for my first question is regarding, you talked about multidisciplinary courses with instructors. So I want to know, that Asian schools specifically, if their curriculum is very limited in credit requirements, so a lot of students don't get the opportunity to do all that. And I was wondering if Engage Cornell would address that in any capacity, particularly because those students really don't get that opportunity in other countries.
What's the idea of encouraging faculty to think about is that none of us, when all students are not faculty, we don't need one more day. We're already crazy busy. And if you say many of you are engaging in curriculum that's very demanding and load up. So what we're encouraging faculty to think about is how can you integrate your curriculum and actually replace things that have to do with your curriculum. I think there's a lot more people that try to keep a lot more stuff to our students and to our faculty. I know that in engineering, there's also a lot of students on project teams, in Cornell University of Design, and Cross-Class. There's a lot going on in engineering that is sort of co-curricular as well as curricular. And we do see this as a blend of both. Not everything has to happen for credit with the curriculum, but we want to enrich both the quantity and quality of what happens in the curriculum.
Next is Emma.
Why is that a question? So, when you talked about the project, what extent of these projects do you need students to learn it? So, I can think of, a million things that I you need so much something that is more, would there be flexibility in like, students creating projects and classes that they want to do, or would you be able to like, choose projects that you can see before that?
I hope it will be a nice mixture of all of those things, a combination. Some days are going to be faculty-led and student, and some things are going to be student-led, and hopefully faculty and student will collaborate and create ideas and planning and other things. Ultimately, what gets academic credit at Cornell is determined by curriculum departments within curriculum committees within departments and educational colleges. Our colleges have somewhat different cultures around what they do credit to work. So we cannot, working in the program process, respect the work of curricular decisions that they make around the and colleges. But I would encourage you to have conversations with the faculty. I know I direct the global health program at Cornell as a professor of nutrition, and so I've been involved in the last 8 years in the program that provides a lot of these experiences globally for students, and a lot of our programming ends up being student-driven and student-led. We could not do what we do without the energy and initiative and creativity of students. So I think the best of this kind of work happens when students and faculty are collaborating and developing ideas and partnering to get it merged into the curriculum.
Before I move on with SA members, is there anyone else in the community who has a question? All right, last chance to raise your hand before I move on. Okay, next is Representative Chat.
Hi, thank you for coming in. So I have several questions for you. So have you started advertising this initiative for prospective students and students on campus? And if they are applying for grants and stuff, how do you put all in front of that app? Would it be like a class council, or would you be sending it to a particular
because I know that there are specific scholarships for IOR. Are you guys looking for each college, or is it like, how is the process going?
So I think, to be perfectly frank, we don't really know what we're doing best. Communication is a high priority for us, both internally and externally. And even prospective students are definitely an audience for this. Again, in my own experience, I'm creating a remote program. We have high school students from around the country emailing and saying, "I've already used it in a remote program." So I think the sort of opportunity really appeals to students and the students, as well as our students. We're in the process of hiring a community director for the initiative, and we'll probably add another communication specialist to work with that. There's a lot of community, a lot of audience for this. Other universities, there's a national hiring conversation, faculty, students, prospective students, potential community partners. So part of that will be through websites, and you might have noticed that on the new, not brand new anymore, but the relatively new world that you will take one of the tabs for public engagement. So some of the information will appear on the public engagement page. We can reach faculty through Slack to the faculty. How to reach students will be something that we continue to evolve. This is largely a university-wide and provost-led initiative, and so we will be disseminating through colleges, but by communicating teams and then having them reach out to students and colleges. But this is an example where I think you all can give us input as well, because you know more. And I hope that we can perhaps continue this conversation in the future after we bring on new communication staff and have them talk with you again about effective communication with students.
I know that the past council has because of the social studies, so I hope that if you guys have questions, I can give you some analysis to the research for communication itself, and if you're more than happy to work with them.
Great. Next is Representative Healy.
I have a question about communication that so far for me that talked about sort of this triad of graduate students and undergrad. For some of the engaged public engagements that we do that are not tied to with academic students, what would be the process for students who are reaching out to engage programs? I know as I study computer science, a lot of public engagements throughout my undergrad education are tied to academic students. The ones that I participated in have been religious student-led groups. For example, there's some of the members of your groups engaging with political thinking and teaching high school and middle school courses. And these groups are really, they don't necessarily fit into specific academic units, so how do they reach out to education when
So, we are partnering with a lot of leaders in student academic services as well. So, for example, the Public Service Center, which many students approach for resource opportunities and alternatives for grades. The Director of the Public Service Center is part of the Leadership Council for UNH and Cornell. And in terms of the student leadership development, we're working with, we just had a retreat with 30 different staff, most of whom are working in Greek Life, North Campus, West Campus, the sustainability, outdoor education, lots of different student areas. So what we hope is to sort of weave a web around this so that it is where I'm going to be approached through lots of different doorways. And we'll provide plenty of space for co-curricular programming and student-led ideas. And again, I think the Public Service Center is probably the largest place where that's happening right now, but not the only place.
ask any questions at this point? Okay. Next is Representative Fridman.
As a member of the Foundation for the Public Service, I underscore the need for expansion of resources that they're absolutely incredible. They've been very, very accommodating for the students and even ambassadors from campus that we ask for the ministry support, resources, communication with management, all of these things that just really, really deserve more attention. It's a great opportunity for that. My question is about making sure that this broadens access to members of the community at work. I guess the way I'd point out that is to say that most students that are involved in research are involved in law. Most students that are involved on campus do multiple things, and other students, innovate and work around and just prove that you've already done it, right? So it's like that self-perpetuating. I guess the question I ask is how do you make sure that you cover as many individuals as possible? It's a point of the game, you don't want to engage people that are already very well motivated to get this right, and you want to get people involved in research that don't have that opportunity.
Yeah. So I just want to two points. First of all, with regard to resources for the Public Service Center, I agree with you that they do really phenomenal work there and in the record so one of the budget lines is to add an additional staff member in the Public Service Center. And we're also embarking on a small capital project to co-locate a number of the units that support student age learning. And so the Public Service Center will be part of that co-location and will have additional space and resources to that. With regard to creating wide access and wide opportunities for this, we are also very aware that we don't want to do this guiltily. We do this initiative, but we want to make sure that the access is wide for all Cornell students. We have set ourselves accountable to a number of what we're calling key performance indicators, and one of those has to do with participation. So we're managing a kind of tracking of participation where we can track both sort of entry or the total first touches with this sort of experience, and then we can also track students who are, you know, that behind teachers, and there will continue to be those things that come out by the time they get it, they graduate, it's going to be a really much what some students do. So we want to support the sort of team. One of the things that relates to is economic access and equitable access for students, regardless of their family circumstance. So one of our things is to keep a real eye on economic access and equitable access for the wide distribution of students that.
Representative Sellers. I have a follow-up question.
To create a new dorm site, what we're imagining is both on North Campus and West Campus, and to create opportunities for sort of student affinities to emerge and be supported. So students who are interested in community engagement via local or around the particular issue to have opportunities for those students to reside in proximity, or even if they're initially scattered around North Campus, to find each other and begin networking and building ideas and opportunities in the residences. Yeah, the faculty and
defining a
trajectory that students could uniquely declare their intent to work toward of graduation with distinction and leadership. And to do that, they need to meet certain criteria in terms of activities, but also in terms of demonstrated competencies. Our aspiration is that by 2025 or before, that there would be a way for students to get transferred to graduation distinction and leadership. But how exactly we get there, that's a big aspiration, like I just told you. And it is an aspiration, it's not a problem, it's not something that any of us individually can rain down on high and make it happen. It's going to take a lot of collaboration and conversation and sort of working in the trenches and trying to bring that vision about. So what we're not trying to create like a new standalone leadership program that's being engaged with another leadership program. What we're trying to do is clarify values and competencies and achieve that across the board in leadership development and health, and provide a kind of credential to students who really follow that path and demonstrate that during their years at Cornell. We see that as a great benefit to the Cornell community, but also to the students' professional and career.
Thank you so much. So we've actually expired our time a lot for this on the agenda, as well as our first speakers list. I don't know the second speakers list, meaning a person who already asked a question. If you still have a question for you, I'm sure can email you their question, just so that we can move on to our meeting today. But I would like to thank you so much for coming out here. An announcement that we're all on the same page. We are going to have to end the meeting tonight exactly at 6:30. This is a specialist session because we will be having our presidential and EDP candidates debate tonight, and in order to be respectful to the students who are co-sponsors today, as well as the candidates who are debating, we'd like to make sure that we can set up the debate and get started right at 6:45. With that being said, if you are a candidate in upcoming elections and need to get your the proof that you attended an FA meeting taken care of, please raise your hand right now so that either George Roberger or our Director of Elections can come by the meeting to get credit for that. Also, if you're a candidate, I encourage you to meet up with whoever is currently in the position you're speaking right now, because I'm sure that would be helpful. Next, I'm going to hand it over to Kiki Kishida for open microphone.
If you'd like to come forward and speak through open microphone, just state your name and year. I would just like to emphasize that we do have a resolution regarding SAFC funding, and if you'd like to come forward with open microphone about that, we please wait, request that you wait until the resolution. So being that, would anyone like to come forward for open microphone? Just state your name and year, please.
My name is Pam.
You can sit down as well if you'd like.
And what we're going to talk to you about, basically we wanted to reach all the leaders of colleges and departments. And the reason why is because we're hosting a law expo, and what that means, it's basically a night to connect creators across all disciplines, and we want to bring it to your attention if you haven't already heard about it, and have you guys help us engage your colleges. And right now we have 40 teams from engineering, PA, fashion, architecture, arts, so the idea is that all these teams, all these disciplines are showcasing projects that they're engaging in the process space. And the idea that connects people to one night and create these conversations, basically platform conversations that can lead to future collaborations. Pretty simple, pretty straightforward, but but we want to make your attention, and I will forward the stuff to Sarah, and she can go to the meeting and be forwarded only to the but we want to understand how you engage the foreign community, and you guys are obviously doing that. So, yeah, we will be here for
like, we don't have any contact about officials that are sharing project teams. And so we're trying to create a dialogue with them. And this is the first time I've ever done it, so hopefully we'll be able to see you from and travel around the United States for that.
Also, this is new. So, if you have a moment to be here, and you're going to come to scratch from having me read and putting it together, all the way to packaging. So, you see, literally, the process of everything. And that is the Worthy Journey initiative. We've even engaged local community, so local, have you guys heard of local business and new initiatives, but they're also going to be representing themselves. So this extends beyond the foreign community, and now moving into its community, which is important because they're not separate, you know? Like, we're all in this discussion. They want to engage us, we want to engage us. So we can really become, you can talk to anybody you want, your handmaker, and also to engage all sorts of new groups. I know that's important. And yeah, recognize it. But if you want to come and see like top creators in your community represent themselves and all the people, we really appreciate your help.
And I think even more than that, we really appreciate the word out because we are very well participating in the movements, but since this is a huge university, we really want to get people to come. So be looking toward the group.
Yeah. And who's trying to get this?
Okay. Very well. Thank you so much for having me on. Would anybody else in the audience like to come forward for open microphone? And being none, we're going to close open microphone.
Motion to suspend the agenda.
What are you proposing?
Move the FAC resolution before the council.
Okay, there's been a motion to move Resolution 49, 2015, FASD allocation of skills report and number reports to be respectful of people who are here today about FASD, and I'm going to grant that motion.
So, and the other thing is,
in Jersey. I think there's been a miscommunication with some people within SASD, and I've made personal decisions in the past year that have been affected on this. So I'll just say it now. The previous co-chair and myself decided the previous group last semester to grant an opportunity for the stance type of appeal because the advisor died 3 or 4 days before the budget deadline. So looking back at that decision, I agree with it from a team perspective, but from a guideline perspective, it's the wrong decision, and from a certain interpretation, That's how the appropriation committee decided that the field decided that none of these organizations should receive funding because they need to look at in a certain interpretation way for a number of reasons, and this will talk about that. If we decide that there should be a certain interpretation of the rules, and I don't think that's a good idea, and I'll go into why I think that's a good idea later, then there needs to be a conversation about what constitutes an unforeseen circumstance. Obviously, this is a very challenging thing to find because there's both like some oral issues, like when some of these things are happening, but also what types of issues are considered unforeseen, whether it's injury or travel or just forgetting, because that, you know, these are all really big questions on the SASD talk process, but in a very good time, this is the field.
Okay, hi everyone, thank you for the invitation. Thank you for the question, Laura. We're kind of going off of that. The reason why we made these decisions that we did was because we deal with over 500 organizations, and for these groups, we allocate their funding and have the basic requirement of having those three signatures. Over 400 organizations were able to do this, and then there were some that were not able to, and that's why they're appealing. I do also want to make it a point that the idea is as effective as possible. That's why we do interpret the guidelines as written, so they make exceptions to some of them, and some people don't know what to do.
The FASD rules that these groups' budgets are not eligible for review and gave the groups an allocation of $0 to implement. All budgets are required by three officers, president, treasurer, and advisor, to comment their approval on the budget. This comment is an electronic signature. The group's budget, without the appropriate signatures, by February 5th, 4 p.m., were incomplete at the deadline. This policy concluded within section 2.1.1 of the FASD funding guidelines and reads, president, treasurer, and advisor must affirm their approvals for each request by digital signature at the commission class. Many resources are available to students in regard to the signature requirement and how to submit a proper approval on listing. These resources include emails sent out on January 16th and January 29th, health sessions held on February 2nd and February 3rd, office hours held on February 5th, and a comprehensive step-by-step document on listing called How to Submit a Budget. Accordingly, the FASD stands by its decision to allocate these groups $0 based on their failure to meet all the basic requirements of eligibility, specifically the missing signatures on the group's budget application. So, we'll let each group for about 30 seconds to a minute talk about why they're appealing, why they have agreed to the decision, and then we'll open up for questions. Just stay here and hear your voice.
Definitely, you're taking down on the treasurer virtual technology committee. We'll have some time. On February 5th, I was walking to a personal session which heavily implied that the president, I thought that was the best resource for any meeting going to work. Because I was walking around 10:30 to 11 o'clock, I put them in half ice, the arm squat fell, fractured my finger, required a medical attention. From that point until 6 o'clock that night, I had been spending time in medical facilities, which I had documentation proving I was there on the 5th. And one of the things we asked about the health session was a form on that. I later received an email from Murphy Yang informing that I was eligible for funding at the budget hearing, which I had an email from Murphy Yang informing that I was only granted exception if I had, quote, an unforeseen circumstance. I was not granted this. The SA probation mail did not grant this. Simply put, I will ask for an extension if possible. The reason that we're arguing this is twofold. First of all, those are our guidelines that exist from the various ability to the allocation before the budget. Yes, ASD does attack on the circumstances or a special cancellation request in guidelines 31664. They continue to find the circumstances, including injury and illness. And the first question that we need to ponder is whether or not that protection should be applied before the application budget is submitted as well, because that's giving more comprehensive protection for groups that do suffer unfortunate unforeseen circumstances and not be able to forget them in those groups in terms of the budget. second one you want to bring up is the
motion to extend the total time by 4 minutes.
Yeah, so I think what we're going to do is allow each of the groups to have 2 minutes exactly, so you've taken up about 1 minute and you've been watching, so you can have 1 more minute to wrap up, okay?
Okay. The second point we make is that as Matt previously explained, we did kind of have a fall where we were kind of verified the data, and we did with the SAS co-chair overruling under the circumstances. And if you want to let the metaphors like able to have more rooms being allowed to this, I have to contend that what we are doing is not the best and already been set. Simply put, the fact that the president already has said that there is leeway in the jurisdiction of the SRO agency, as well as the interpretation of this committee as a whole, to determine how the circumstances should be protected under the guidelines. And I believe this is enough comprehensive protection. So, I have a question that can be ponder our
call.
10 seconds. A is the number seen. B is the difference between time and count on my part, which I explained it to. And so, for those reasons, there has to be a discussion as to whether or not it should be added, but it's not a request to be granted during my briefing session.
So, again, 2 minutes per group, and I'm assuming that there are less of those four who would like to speak.
Yeah, I don't think it's 2 minutes. So, I'd like to talk about the rule that the Constitution here is required. Our group is trying to write for a data advisor signature.
Could you clarify for me?
With the wording, with other new tendencies,
I'll just make one more point for transparency's sake. But the last point is that we're spending our most part of self-esteem high is going for stealing. I don't think it's an issue considering we're going against their field, but it's a few other issues that feel free to talk about that in more detail. But we refuse ourselves from the team. So I was just making that clear.
All right, so now I have a speaking tab of a speaker's list. What we're going to do is follow our usual protocol with two FA members, one community member. I already know a couple of community members caught my attention. If you would like to get on the speaker's list, we're more than happy to have you. We're going to send an FA member around and see the paper. Okay. First,
we can So I think I'm a member of the Association of Community Students for the Netherlands and Office of India. So there are actually three major arguments. Your first argument is about the institutional argument of the Appropriations Committee. In the committee, we're strictly told that we have asked questions as the SAFC in their decision in terms of following their rules. So any, and in terms of 2.1.1, I think that's the one, any sort of budget signature received after the deadline is not eligible, and the SAFC has a very good decision. So in terms of that institutional argument, when we are saying that we can't vote, the Appropriations Committee role does not allow us to vote against a decision where it is not there. The second is the policy efficiency argument, and in terms of that, today we do allow organizations to, we kind of larger decisions for the business get last semester by Master Tempo. We will be actually allowing other organizations and in fact incentivizing them to probably submit their budget date and then come to us for the implementation say that, you allow these kind of organizations last semester to reduce their funds. But the last argument, the most important argument, is the optimality argument, where if we don't use the money today, your organization will not be allowed to fund, and your organization will be hurt in some way or the other. And that has been first the entire student community. So when I say that, I understand the argument, I understand where people are coming from, but I also want you to acknowledge why the Appropriations Committee has to make decisions in a specific manner. The Student Assembly represents students, so we specifically don't have to abide to the logic of the Appropriations Committee. We can of course overlook that, but nonetheless, I strongly believe the Appropriations Committee was not wrong and they have all the right not to give the funding. Lastly, in terms of solutions, of course, we can rectify legislation within the SAFC to these bureaucratic. That's definitely a thing I would strongly push for. I however believe that doing that retrospectively would be a good option. And the second major solution is to look at alternative funding sources. A major one is project funding. If you have
If you guys can please be respectful, the speaker's list is already very long, so thank you for how much this meeting is possible. I promise I'm not trying to be rude, I'm trying to get all where we need to be on time. Next is Representative Urban.
So in the way that I'm just trying to think about the point of SAFC is to provide the student groups in a different way to allocate money to the benefit of the student community. Committee has approved very, very clearly to me how giving money to student organizations do like great work in general and like, how the organization makes money at a high level, not getting money to the person that's going to be a drastic issue. I'm getting convinced very, very strongly that this is going to mess the entire system. Obviously, I don't think there's any incentive to you guys meeting with me to just get to the money. Okay, because this is clearly an awkward, prolonged experience that people that are meeting with groups don't want to have. I have a ton of money for working. I have a ton of money arbitrary at the point of what you're doing in the constitutional groups anyway, you're going to have to make a very, very, very strong case about how funding particular student groups will hurt the funding of teachers in the future. I think that's a contradiction.
Yes, but you guys can start. I need to make it clear. You guys can reply or read. Not you guys. You guys, the presenters of the resolution, so that way they can get two FA and one community member. If you as a community member would like to speak, you should raise your hand and let me know. Cool.
Now, we're
doing
number three, or we're
going to
be number two?
It's going to be number three, because I want the community members in it. I'm sorry, guys. Next is Kevin Chesson.
Hello, everyone. I want to speak to you not only as a former member of the Appropriations Committee, but also a member of the Student Assembly, urging you to overturn the recommendations of the Appropriations Committee. And on the ground, the errors in the decisions they make, the rules in which they make those decisions, whether or not it is error or problematic. So I'm going to argue that the advice of future eligibility clause in section 2.2.1.1 is flawed and should not be made a determinant for funding for organizations. There can be three reasons why this is true, and I will have to give attention if I need one. First, the relationship with advisors and student organizations is not static, right? Professors have jobs, they have lives. And a lot of organizations on campus, given that there are hundreds upon hundreds of organizations, there are many different advisors to many different organizations. Those relationships are not static and are not appropriate to determine the funding, given the differences in those relationships, whether a professor lecturing in China, doing presentations in Europe, or simply has running other different groups. I don't think it's fair to make a determinant based on some very arbitrary relationships between people that are not static. The second argument is that the teachers are designed to look oversight. I would beg you to look and think that actually, like, the signature itself, does the advisor actually look at the budget? Is the advisor actually looking at the budget and determining whether or not there's inefficiency? I would say before the advisor looks at the budget and post signature, I doubt that there are any actual changes to that budget. I think the SBSC provides a significant amount of oversight that I think the advisor may not be providing anything. The third reason why you should not be why the advisor should be flawed is the rule right now is causing more harm than good, right? I think the FDA provides proper oversight to these groups once the budget is submitted. If they screw up on a budget and those are running on those grounds, that's fair. The problem with the FDA, the problem you have now is these groups are no longer to put on a program. Groups put on programming and connected to many different communities on campus and important to many different communities on campus. And simply shutting them and shackling them by this rule is not helping them. Rather, like, if even if the rule doesn't exist, say we take it away today, you're going to make the argument that these groups are no longer going to have associations with their advisors and these budgets are going to become problematic and various problems will happen. No, that is not true. Like, organizations still require advisors in order to be registered organizations. Relationships are still going to exist and they're still waiting for financial partnership over these organizations. I request an extension from that. Thank you. And I think it's false. We argue that while the relationship rights are static, should not be a determinant. The signature does not keep some oversight, and I don't think this is like, this rule actually creates both this, like, oversight and advisors.
All right, you're done. I am going to.
Entirety of the SAC, you manipulate the rules, every
because it serves all students in terms of funding and they all use certain functions, that when you're making those decisions, you're basically saying every time that the group is overturned, you become an amendment to the SAC rules, and that means those other 400 to 500 organizations completely, you know, they can really move fluidly as much as they want. And from a budget issue, first of all, it's going to be impossible to figure that out. And from a time issue, it's going to be impossible to figure that out. And if we want to give these groups money by the time, that, you know, by the time that February or March happens, they can actually put out on their bets. Start at 50 to 100. I have a
motion to stand by 30 seconds.
Okay, is that okay?
Fine.
That you need to be able to actually, you know, you can't have 100 days per semester, otherwise you're going to be dealing with having competitions until April or May, and you're not going to be able to improve their funding. You know, the final issue is going to try to report the account issue.
The final issue is that on the there are multiple stages of the level. So there's Cornell University, which is also an assembly, so the student assembly finance commission, and each student group that's funded through the FASD has a sub account, and there needs to be an advisor on that account who is an employee of Cornell University. Otherwise, there is a lot of legality issues regarding turnover on the account. For example, if fraud or misuse of funds happen and students graduate and move on, the way it's tracking it down to the account.
Perfect timing. Next, we're going to go to the vocabulary. You have exactly 2 minutes.
Understood.
I respect the committee and the FSC and all the provision committee, they have to uphold the rules. However, I would assert that this isn't quite to be naturally that Ethan Franco or any commission are asserting. I mean, my point is, every student pays that committee, which now takes money through, the FSC, I believe the job is not to understand. We believe the rules are wrong. It is our duty to overturn them or change them. I'm concerned that the potential after the past we have, even unconsciously, we have infrastructure. We already left. And you can't argue about it. I'm very much concerned that if we, I mean, our job is to oversee funds, and all these groups are here because they really, they're interested in planning. Planning comes to the meeting, and planning to have a person there to speak. I think it's more than a regular group would take. And to go through these rules and request an exception, I think it's not incentive to not follow the rules. And frankly, it's a pain in the neck. I mean, okay, so you fell and broke your hand finger. I would hardly ever hardly consider that a failure or a result of your fall apart. You mean forgetting something? That's human. And that is the issue maybe to the whole school. But falling into the knife, that's not very cool. Someone who's on the plane, I mean, our faculty, their first job is a faculty officer, the second job is a faculty. I think that to hold this, holding this standard is almost unreasonable, and why I respect the guidelines, I understand it's important. I really don't believe this is going to be the disaster that it's being implied. Because this is, I mean, even if you were to grant this, there's still a lot of things to jump through, but I think that, you know, still doesn't affect the integrity of the process.
Yeah, even just from hearing like the five different stories that all of you had, like if you haven't gotten out, it's literally impossible to choose between like which things constitute unforeseen circumstances or what are deserving of exceptions like versus the others. Like if it's like a broken finger or a plane, like I don't think it's possible to like weigh those and make a decision on like what's more unforeseen or what's more deserving of exception than anything else. And I mean, I think the thing that's most unfair is that we're talking about like waiting rules for the five baddest groups who were like willing to put in this much time when there's probably like 10 other groups who acknowledged their mistake and just like didn't appeal in the first place. And I don't think it's fair to reward people just for like aggressively appealing repeatedly when they don't have a case. And I think the fact that we have expectations for like groups that are getting millions of dollars, it's not bizarre. It's like actually, and it's a necessity for like the whole system to be sustainable.
All right, next is excuse me if I can have the name of Laura Daniela
Sanchez.
Oh, sorry.
Hello. I'd like to speak as president of Unemployment Information Publication and a member of the Industry Bargaining Society. I think it goes against what Cornell stands for, kind of a budget system in which small loopholes like electronic signature can trump actual merit. I'm the president of a magazine that brings architecture and art students to showcase experimental art. It looks forward to an AP and enjoys working on that model. We lost funding because of an entire signature that was just minutes late, and the fact most probably have to cancel the entire issue because of a small error, and ask the committee, we ask the committee to reconsider these policies to properly foster student activity that enhances the Cornell experience for many students, all of which can activities. Thank you.
Thank you.
next month or two, like, you know, I'm going to go out there. I don't know. I just, like, I mean, we can do this with a risk, but, like, if the rules are working out, we can just do something in this situation where, like, I'll fail here on the view, because, like, they're providing me my answer. But, like, I don't know if we're going to be able to see how much time, how many money I'll get to add as a way to my money. That's a big, like, that's an issue, but I think we need more money to come to you as well. And we need more time to
Alright, great. Next is, again, is Tamara and you.
I'm Tamara and I'm the professor of the History of Urban Nature Society. So our advisor, like the other advisors, happens to be a volunteer at the Constitutional Society document. I don't think that's necessarily the most relevant reference that we have. I think it's more relevant to note that since 1993, our organization has worked within the Johnson Museum on the university campus. We handle hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of work. We have our weekly meetings in the museum and we use the museum's exhibition space for our exhibition. So every budget that we go to has to be rigorously looked over and approved by the museum administration. So all we're trying to suggest is that we have so much oversight through the museum, we have to coordinate with the museum to get our budget to the MASC, and it just feels like having our advisor, who actively seeks not to be involved in our day-to-day activities, because she's just working there. The fact that the people who run exhibition curating organizations in the country. The fact that she's even involved in the day-to-day events is one of the great merits of the society and so many different organizations. So we're just arguing that advisor signatures don't really do that much, and in fact, in some ways, they kind of perhaps threaten the integrity of the student organization, providing undergraduates from outlet to gain leadership skills and practical experience outside of the classroom. Thank you.
So, the first thing I want to talk about is the necessity for an advisor signature. To be honest, this hasn't ever been brought up as an option. And so, you know, it's like before you make any decisions, you know, at the assembly, there needs to be a discussion with the office. Something needs to happen to ensure that you can actually pull an advisor off the account and you'd be able to function. I haven't dealt with the legality of the Cornell organization that much to really answer that question. And I think that before we make any sort of decision, like,
there needs to be an advisor signature. There needs to be an advisor for each of the reports. Period.
I mean, I'm happy to hear ways that we can make that burden less, or consider ways that we can work with advisors, but also pulling the advisor off the account, like I said, is not going to be something that's possible here. So there might be solutions around that, and we'll need your suggestions, but at the end of the day, somebody has to sign it.
Also, I want to add that, you know, a lot of women's organizations say that they have their advisor signature be an issue, but the FASC wholeheartedly do a lot of outreach, a lot of health sessions, email reminders of vulnerability. Again, I want to make sure that over 400 organizations are able to do this. In addition to that, this is not the first year that the signature has been required. This has not been a major issue in the past, but we're going to be impacted. Why it's been an issue this semester, I'm not sure, but please.
Why don't we, the FASC has over $1.4 million each annual year, and our goal is to end in zero. We want to fully fund organizations. We offer countless resources, reminders, and one-on-one health sessions to help students achieve these goals. And again, as Melissa said, there are over 400 student groups that have no issue and we're fully funded this time.
Perfect. Next is Representative Lee.
Thank you so much for your comments. I think it's really helpful for us to get more comments about the process. I think so far we looked at what are the rules and how to share. We also go as well as we can ask ourselves what are the point of rules. I think the point of rules are one, to clear cut, and two, to be a Right now, they are certified, and I agree on that. The question is accommodating is something that we're discussing. And I know from my finding five, I know they divide up into finding five plus, only one finding plus to have actually healthy relationship with five. We are all adults, we're students, we run these organizations, and I'd be happy to discuss that if anyone wants to reach out to me for a resolution and talk about those rules and situations change. If you do want to look at it from our perspective though, it is hard to give the exceptions because there are so many groups that are not here that are represented that that they are taking a strong and not knowledge just based on our presence here, whatever it is. So I think as a student assembly, we want to get involved in this solution. The fact that your club won't be here, you guys will make things safe, so you get things in my time. But we will have a new set of clubs. So change your training scores so that you know, and we'll have a new set of clubs. We really don't want to have that student assembly. So you want these people to be accommodating, you want to have long-term solutions, not just solutions for semester by semester. And if you guys reach out to me,
all right, so next is Jordan Berger, parliamentarian.
The purpose of this appeal is to determine whether or not the FASD has merited an original application of practice. If FAM was seriously considering voting to overturn this decision, it is necessary to point out exactly where the FASD has merited an original practice. I believe that we compromise the integrity of the assembly by overdoing our power in the appeal. Many other groups are required to hear about these guidelines and recommend that you have a decision to ensure all aspects of your application or submit on time follow the guidelines, which may have been a decision to decide to submit an incomplete budget or not submit a budget at all. I would encourage other members to work with the NJSC and its constituents to amend the NJSC guidelines and make coming quarter accessible to students next semester.
Next is Noah Wesley. You'd like to be on the list? That's okay. I'll put you down. But no.
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Noah Buckley, and I'm here as the president of Farmers Market at Cornell. Our budget was not approved correctly, but was not approved because we did not have a signature from our advisor. Our treasurer immediately reached out to SASC in our Department of Appeal. We were told that this bill did not be possible because of the policy we're writing regarding requirements for identifying signature. I'm advocating for inspection or assessment regarding appeals, but I'm advocating for a change in the policy regarding initializing signature on SASC funding. I agree with funding to be objective, but an advisor planning off on a budget is nothing to do with objectivity. I am not advocating for an advisor to hold off our organization, but rather advocating for a change in policy regarding advisor signature. Thank you.
Now we're going to go to the
teachers. So I believe that she wants to call it back and then find the record name of the account and sign off on all of it, so no matter what. I did want to touch on quickly the process of getting here and on appealing. Every group is entitled to a budget hearing to make this very well known. Once they attend a budget hearing, we then let them know that if they're unhappy with the decision, they are more than allowed to appeal to the appropriations committee, and then after the appropriations committee, if they have everyone know that they are unhappy with the decision of the appropriations committee, they can then appeal to the entire council. So this process is in the funding guidelines, and it is a very good approach to the organization. The other point that you can make, Jordan brought up, I think I can kind of slide a little bit better, is that this decision should come down to whether or not the FASD erred in interpreting the guidelines. The way that the reason that's there is because it takes the subjectivity out of analyzing all these groups. There are 400 groups coming in and say we were founded in 1993. Every group, I don't really know how you weigh that in this group that was founded in 2013 and had a lot of organizations. They not just funded because they're not as new. I mean, these are all questions that have to be asked within the hours to figure out. I'm all for finding solutions as we update the guidelines every semester to fix a lot of these issues. But at the end of the day, this basically, you're not ruling to change these rules themselves. You're setting a precedent
precedent that when groups have issues, they can come to the assembly, change the rules to orient their groups, and then do that every semester. I don't know how you really have a good piece of statute to vote against when you're making a decision that moves you close to the possible. I mean, if you want to present the right information, how you can do this, I'm happy to hear that, but I've spent a lot of time thinking about that. I don't think there is any.
Next is Representative Yang.
So, I'm going to make this public now. I am a part of the HEC, so I will be abstaining from the vote total. I'm just going to say, I agree with the other groups, and I also agree with the other side that it should be objective. It should be, it should be a short amount of time, even though our budgeting director, managing director, and advisor were all taken out of time. I also the advisor as well, so I just said for that fact. However, the fact is, there are some groups that HEC and United Group are celebrating the 90th anniversary, celebrating student leadership through hospitality education. It's a big group. It's the bane of the hotel school, essentially. And Marissa is going to confess to that as well. It's light at the hotel school. But I'm not going to say that FAC erred in their decision. The fact is that, yes, everyone was sick. Yes, everyone didn't turn in their funding or turn in their signature. And that's fair. That's what's written in the guidelines. Now, what's written in the guidelines can also be changed. New guidelines can be written. And that's, I'm not going to say anything about this semester, but maybe if we're going on into future semesters, as David said, writing new guidelines to prevent smaller groups. Maybe, and larger groups, engineering, hotel, architecture, arts. I think everyone can really do this. Money is money. We all need it.
Okay,
thank you.
Next is Representative Wayne.
Hi, thank you all for coming. I just want to pick up the first maybe from an election committee, which I can't believe I'll do. You know that I'm not one to if you're a president, I don't think president, if you take something on class and that's not the appearance to apply, you need to get to the rules that they're there for. However, I do agree with the consistency between each of the cycle. So I'm guessing you can get the value that you get that reducing that by the future. Honestly, I agree with, with Franklin and he said about that I don't think that they have to take their individual semester. Unfortunately, I actually made a personal mistake this semester for my organization. I did not go to the far as I could, that was just a horrible mistake on my part, but I understand that we are all going through. However, I don't think you all should let us stop here and my stuff includes. I'd love to be a part of some legislation. And of what Matt and Dave were saying. Mainly that while 3 weeks is a long time to get a budget, we're all kids, we all know that things happen. And for some reason, we just yell at us. And I would suggest just an idea of some sort where we can still make the rules be very objective. And I'm sure you have no definition of rules, but you can set up a 24, 48 hour mark that cut that much. This would be a legitimate, you have to hear 100% of it, and there'd be no civic duty beyond that, essentially, because sometimes you can't hear that much of that. We talk on some other things, the violence of the organization that is getting the biggest profit for all of them, EMS and hours, that's true. It's also, you're not also having all 900,000 plus organizations, going to that.
Okay, so being that it's 6:15, and as I mentioned before, we need to end this meeting at 6:30. I am only going to allow everyone 45 seconds to speak. I understand this is strict. We are moving on. Next on speakers list is someone named Lucian. Okay, if you and I are going to move on to the next person on the list, and the next person on the list, Jason.
Really, I want to touch on two main points. The first is pretty significant.
Dr. William Wagner, her technical was far better. She liked 10 looking men go through the left one being 20 to be targeted. And that's a philosophy to apply to her situation. Because quite frankly, whatever this one might be, our FDA and the way she has to deal with, in the long run, I cannot imagine the impact it would have on charity groups who are unfairly denied funding because they can care for things beyond their control. I don't think it's feasible what would happen to many of all other groups in this year right now where unforeseen, unfortunate, and could not have been predicted. And as rules, as people in the have kids, it has to be accommodating to protect the integrity of the
time. Next is the Bandari. Oh, I'm so sorry. You guys get 2 minutes because I didn't. Well, that was actually the third. I'm sorry. You guys go before Yami. You can get 45 seconds.
Just a point of information. Jason broke his finger between 10:30 and 11, but the budget was submitted by Yami at 11:58 a.m. So that means that the budget was submitted after the incident. So that's just a point of information. Additionally, the way that the tier system works, none of these groups that get zero budget are going to move down a tier. If you are zero allocated and you spend $0, you don't get punished.
I mean, the way you look at this isn't really broad. I mean, I think what Franklin said was correct, right? That I'm okay with amending the rules and switching them for future semesters if you find that the rules are involved. The issue with this precedent, right, doesn't mean having to do with undersea circumstances or anything like that. It is precedent that is set by saying that groups have issues during the semester during application. If they bring up people to a meeting and they prove that they're upset enough that you can overturn the
rules. Next is Bandari.
So,
know we're looking at some students in the bathroom, but it's just the on that part.
So actually, you guys are 40 seconds.
So I just want to point out that, again, we give over 450 to organization funding. If there was one or two even, would we actually acknowledge our taking the grant out of organization funding? Because it is impossible for a group of 30 students to get every school right 100% of the time. We strive for perfection, but sometimes we fall back short. And so if we get 99.9% of this correct, I'm very pleased with that.
Can I also add that in terms of how the budget is signed after the budget, the budget is not signed after the budget is submitted. We try to timestamp everything. We have the date submitted and to see whether those advisory committees, treasurer, president, that is signed or after the submission. So that's something that I've done before.
No, I'm sorry. You're on the second student list because you've already spoken once. Next is, Kristen
Burnett. All right, I'm not going to make any arguments about such a crazy idea. I've had to stay up like 4 hours a night for the whole semester. Here's the proposed solution. Essentially, the way that FIT works is to support the activities and that's what our solution is. The president and treasurer should overlook the entire budget, get it done, submit it on time by that 4 p.m. deadline. That is within our control, we should have that responsibility. Should not be asked to do the supervisor. Yes, there's a legal concern, but what they should do is approve it after the FIT approves it, because that is actually going to contribute to a line item that is going to go on the
There's been a motion called question. All the residents. There's been a second. Is there any dissent to this motion?
Okay, the second was 30 minutes. Just a reminder that we need to adjourn the meeting today at 6:30 in 6 minutes. Considering that it is that we are going to have to vote to vote. Students who are in favor of voting on this resolution right now, please raise your placards. If you're opposed, and if you'd like to stay, so by a vote of 13-8-0, we will be voting on this right now. So the way this works is going to be explained by Jordan.
You can go back and get it back to the appropriations we're dealing with. how fast can you be finding these groups for suitable alternative sources of funding, which, where exactly should go?
I am looking for that to be prior.
Great. So, there's multiple offices and departments on campus that I am acknowledging access funding to have. As soon as somebody has considered small special project funding and go to certain projects, that's maybe $1,000 left. So those are conversations that I'm happy to have, but I think it's not that obvious. But thank you.
Motion to table to next week.
So there is a motion to table until the next week. I ask that absolutely approve this by campus and send that you can all agree that we need more time to talk about this and that we need to do during the meeting right now. I thank you very much for your time. If you're on the student assembly, do not remove yourself from your chair.
This has been a production of Cornell University. On the web at cornell.edu.